Hey everyone, welcome back to the AI Hardware Show, the podcast where we dig into the chips, silicon, and data center tech powering the AI revolution. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe, and today we have an absolutely stacked episode. Big shout out to our sponsors, Limitless AI, helping businesses integrate AI into their workflows, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development consulting. All right, let's get into it. We've got Meta making massive moves with NVIDIA and dropping four brand new AI chips. Samsung prepping a new NPU for your laptop, Europe's semiconductor sovereignty push, and TSMC showing off some genuinely exciting manufacturing breakthroughs. Let's go. Okay, story one, and this one is big. Meta has expanded its deal with NVIDIA to use millions of AI chips as part of a massive data center buildout. And we're not just talking GPUs here. This deal also includes standalone CPUs. So let's unpack what's happening and why it matters so much. First, the scale. When we say millions of chips, we're not being hyperbolic. Meta has been on an absolute infrastructure spending tier for the past couple of years, and this deal signals that they're doubling down in a serious way. We're talking about one of the largest compute buildouts in history from a single company. Now, the GPU side of this is pretty expected at this point. NVIDIA's H100s and the newer Blackwell architecture chips are essentially the gold standard for AI training workloads. If you're training large language models or multimodal models at the scale, Meta is operating, think Llama, think their recommendation systems, you need a lot of those high bandwidth, high throughput chips. No surprise there, but here's the part that got my attention, the standalone CPUs. Meta is buying NVIDIA G-Race CPUs, which are ARM-based server processors. Now, why does that matter? Because it signals that Meta isn't just buying NVIDIA for GPU compute anymore. They're building out a more holistic infrastructure stack using NVIDIA's broader product portfolio. Think of it this way. If a GPU is like the main engine in a race car, a CPU is like all the supporting systems, the steering, the brakes, the fuel management. You need both working together for peak performance. And when you're operating at Meta scale, even small inefficiencies in how those systems communicate can cost you enormous amounts of money and performance. The NVIDIA Grace CPU is built on the ARM Neoverse platform, and it's designed to work really well with NVIDIA GPUs, especially in the Grace Hopper and Grace Blackwell superchips where the CPU and GPU are tightly coupled with NVLink. So Meta buying standalone Grace CPUs likely means they're building infrastructure where those processors handle orchestration, networking, and inference tasks while GPUs do the heavy lifting. From a market perspective, this is also a massive win for NVIDIA that goes beyond just dollar figures. It shows that NVIDIA's strategy of becoming a full-stack data center company, not just a GPU maker, is actually working. Jensen Huang has been saying for years that NVIDIA wants to be the platform, not just the accelerator. A deal this size from Meta validates that vision in a really concrete way. And look, there's a slight irony here too, which we'll get into in our next story, because Meta is simultaneously developing its own custom silicon. So they're both a major NVIDIA customer and a potential NVIDIA competitor. That's a really interesting dynamic to watch as we head through 2025 and beyond. The broader implication here is that the hyperscalers, Meta, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, are all in this arms race to secure as much compute as they can. Supply is still constrained relative to demand, so locking in deals at this scale is as much about securing future supply as it is about anything else. Meta is essentially planting a flag and saying, "We are in this AI race to win." All right, story two, and this one is exciting for a different reason because it's about bringing AI acceleration closer to you, the end user. Samsung is reportedly getting ready to launch something called the Gaia AI Accelerator for PCs, and it's already being validated by HP and Lenovo. Let's dig into this. So first, what is Gaia? Based on what's been reported, it's a dedicated NPU. That's a neural processing unit designed specifically for on-device AI inference tasks. Think things like real-time image processing, AI-assisted productivity features, local language model inference, the kinds of things Microsoft is pushing with Copilot Plus PCs and Apple has been doing with its neural engine on the M-series chips. The NPU space for client devices, meaning laptops and desktops, has gotten incredibly competitive over the last couple of years. You've got Intel with their Meteor Lake and Lunar Lake chips that include NPUs, Qualcomm's Snapdragon X series, which has a really strong NPU story. And of course, Apple's Neural Engine, which has been setting the bar for on-device AI performance for several years now. So where does Samsung's Gaia fit in? Well, Samsung has deep semiconductor expertise, they make their own Exynos chips, they operate one of the world's largest foundries, and they have experience building MLX accelerators. But the client PC market is a different beast from mobile, and getting design wins at HP and Lenovo is genuinely significant because those are two of the biggest PC OEMs in the world. Here's a good analogy for why dedicated NPS matter. Imagine you're trying to cut vegetables. A chef's knife, your CPU can technically do it. A GPU is like a food processor, great for big batch jobs. But an NPU is like a mandolin slicer, incredibly efficient at one specific type of task, doing it faster and with way less energy than the other options. That efficiency is critical on battery-powered devices. The fact that HP and Lenovo are already in the validation phase suggests this is not just a paper announcement. We could be looking at real products shipping with Gaia inside within the next year or so. That's a pretty fast timeline, and it tells you that Samsung has been working on this for a while. One thing I'll be watching closely is performance benchmarks, specifically TOPS, which stands for Tera Operations Per Second. That's how we measure NPU throughput. Microsoft's Copilot Plus PC requirement is 40 TOPS minimum. Qualcomm's Snapdragon X Elite hits around 45 TOPS on the NPU. If Samsung comes in above that threshold with competitive power efficiency, Gaia becomes a serious contender. The bigger picture here is that on-device AI is becoming a real battleground. Not everything needs to go to a data center. Running inference locally is faster, more private, and doesn't require a network connection. As local models get smaller and more capable, think quantized versions of models like Llama or Phi, having a powerful NPU in your laptop becomes increasingly valuable. Samsung entering this space aggressively with OEM validation already underway is a signal that the on-device AI era is not just coming, it's basically here. Keep an eye on Gaia, this one could be a dark horse in the NPU race. Story 3, and this one is a topic I think deserves way more attention in the English language tech press. Cypril's CEO Philippe Naughton sat down with eNews Europe to talk about Europe's AI processors, chiplet technology, and semiconductor sovereignty. And honestly, this conversation touches on something really fundamental about where the global chip industry is headed. So first, who is Cypril? Cypril is a European fabless semiconductor company that grew out of the EURO HPC initiative, which is the European Union's high-performance computing program. Their flagship product is the Rhea processor, an HPC chip built on ARM architecture, designed for European supercomputers. The company is essentially Europe's answer to the question, why are we so dependent on American and Asian chips? And that question of semiconductor sovereignty is not just a technical one, it's deeply geopolitical. We saw during COVID how supply chain disruptions in semiconductors rippled across every industry. We've seen export controls on advanced chips create real strategic pressure. Europe, like the US and China, is increasingly asking, what happens if we can't access the chips we need? Naughton talked about chiplets as a key part of Cypril's strategy going forward. Now, chiplets are a really elegant solution to a difficult problem. Instead of designing one massive monolithic chip that does everything, you break the design into smaller, specialized tiles, chiplets that get packaged together. It's kind of like building with Lego blocks instead of trying to carve a single sculpture from one piece of stone. The advantages are significant. You can mix and match chiplets made at different process nodes, source them from different foundries, reuse validated designs across multiple products, and improve yield because smaller chips have fewer defects. AMD pioneered this approach with their Zen processors, and now everyone from Intel to Apple to NVIDIA is using chiplet-style packaging. For Cypril specifically, chiplets matter because they give European companies flexibility in sourcing. If you're dependent on a single foundry for a monolithic chip and that foundry has issues geopolitically or otherwise, you're stuck. With chiplets, you can potentially source different tiles from different fabs, including European fabs like those being developed under the European Chips Act. Now, it's worth being honest about where Europe stands. The European Chips Act aims to reach 20% of global chip production by 2030, but experts widely acknowledge that's an incredibly ambitious target. Right now, Europe produces a small fraction of global advanced semiconductor output. Building the ecosystem, the equipment, the talent, the supply chains takes decades, not years. But here's why Cypril and conversations like this one matter. You have to start somewhere. Europe has genuine strengths in chip design, in photonics, in certain materials science areas. Cypril represents a serious attempt to build European AI and HPC silicon capability from the ground up, and having a CEO making the case publicly for chiplets and sovereignty is part of building the narrative and the political will to fund this work. The implications extend beyond Europe too, as more regions, whether it's India, Japan, the Middle East, invest in domestic chip capabilities, the global semiconductor landscape becomes more distributed. That's actually good for resilience overall, even if it creates more competition. More players in this space means more innovation. And for those of us who love silicon, that is very exciting. Story 4. Okay, this is a big one, and it connects back to what we covered in story one. Meta has officially announced 4 new custom AI chips, and this is raising some real eyebrows in terms of what it means for NVIDIA and AMD. Let's get into the details. So Meta revealed these chips at their first ever Meta Tech Day, and they're making a real statement here. The 4 chips cover different parts of their infrastructure needs. There's a new training chip, inference accelerators, and networking silicon. This is Meta saying, "We are serious about owning our own silicon destiny." Now let's put this in context. This is not Meta's first rodeo with custom silicon. They've been working on in-house chips for a while, and their MTIA chip, Meta Training and Inference Accelerator, has been in development and deployment for some time. But 4 new chips announced at once is a significant escalation. Why do hyperscalers build their own chips? The answer comes down to efficiency and cost at scale. When you're running hundreds of thousands or millions of chips, even a 10 or 15% improvement in performance per watt translates into enormous savings. We're talking billions of dollars over the lifetime of the hardware. Plus, you get to optimize the silicon specifically for your workloads, which off-the-shelf chips from NVIDIA or AMD simply can't do as precisely. Google did this with TPUs, and it's been hugely successful. Amazon has Trainium and Inferentia. Microsoft is developing MAIA chips, and now Meta is doubling down with this 4-chip lineup. The trend is undeniable. The biggest consumers of AI compute are all building their own silicon. Does this threaten NVIDIA? In the short to medium term? Not really. NVIDIA's GPUs are still the best general-purpose AI accelerators available, and custom silicon takes years to mature and scale. But in the long term, and NVIDIA knows this, losing workloads from hyperscalers to custom silicon is a real concern. That's actually one reason NVIDIA has been pushing so hard into the full-stack platform story we talked about in Story 1. Here's the tension, though, and this is the part I find genuinely fascinating. Meta is simultaneously signing massive deals to buy millions of NVIDIA chips and building its own chips to reduce NVIDIA dependence. They're hedging. They need NVIDIA right now, but they're investing in not needing NVIDIA quite as much in the future. That's a sophisticated and rational strategy. The networking silicon piece is particularly interesting to me. Networking is often the unsung hero of large-scale AI clusters. When you're training a model across thousands of GPUs, the speed and efficiency of the interconnects between those GPUs can be the limiting factor on your overall training performance. Custom networking silicon lets Meta optimize exactly how data moves through their clusters. For the industry, 4 new chips from Meta is a signal to the entire ecosystem, to chip designers, to packaging companies, to EDA tool vendors, that the custom silicon market is booming. And it's great news for companies like TSMC, which is almost certainly the foundry manufacturing these chips. More custom silicon from more hyperscalers means more business for the world's leading fabs. This is the new reality of AI hardware. The era of everyone just buying the same NVIDIA GPUs is giving way to a more complex layered ecosystem where general-purpose accelerators coexist with highly optimized custom silicon. And honestly, that makes our job covering this space a whole lot more interesting. All right, last story, and I saved what might be the most technically exciting one for the end. TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, has been unveiling some major advances in 2 key areas, CoWoS packaging and 2D transistors. If you care about where chip performance is going over the next 5 to 10 years, you need to understand what TSMC is working on here. Let's start with CoWoS, because this technology is already here and already crucial to AI hardware. CoWoS stands for Chip on Wafer on Substrate, and it's TSMC's advanced packaging technology. The basic idea is that instead of connecting chips to each other through a circuit board, which is relatively slow and power-hungry, you integrate them much more tightly on a silicon interposer. Think of it like this. Traditional chip connections are like sending mail between buildings across town. CoWoS is like having pneumatic tubes directly connecting those buildings, way faster, way more efficient. For AI chips, this matters enormously because the bottleneck is often moving data between the compute die and the HBM high bandwidth memory stacks. CoWoS dramatically increases that bandwidth. NVIDIA's H100 and H200 use CoWoS. The Blackwell GPUs use an even more advanced version. When people talk about the insane memory bandwidth numbers on these chips, we're talking 3 to 4 terabytes per second. CoWoS is a huge part of how that's achieved. TSMC advancing CoWoS capabilities means the next generation of AI chips can pack in even more memory bandwidth and integrate even more chiplets in a single package. TSMC has been scaling CoWoS aggressively. The reticle size, which is essentially how much area they can integrate, has been growing substantially. And they've been building out enormous CoWoS capacity because demand from NVIDIA, AMD, and custom chip customers like Apple and the hyperscalers has been absolutely intense. Now, the 2D transistor story is a longer-term play, but potentially even more significant. We're approaching the physical limits of conventional silicon transistors. At 2 nanometers and below, Quantum effects start causing all kinds of problems, leakage current, variability, you name it. The industry has known for years that we'd eventually need new materials. Enter 2D materials, things like molybdenum disulfide and other transition metal dichalcogenides. These are materials that are literally just one or a few atoms thick. Because they're so thin, you can build transistors out of them that have dramatically better electrostatic control than silicon, meaning less leakage, better switching, and potentially continued scaling beyond where silicon can take us. TSMC showcasing advances in 2D transistors is them signaling that they are actively working on the post-silicon future. Now, to be clear, we are probably a decade or more away from 2D transistors in production chips. This is